Hey guys, before we start the main portion of the podcast, I just wanted to give you an update. The Summer of Free Movie Club movie this month is 1984, which we've promoted previously on the podcast. What slipped our notice was that there is some nudity and some sexual content in this movie, and I'm really sorry, guys, that I did not I didn't check into that. I think the last time I saw the movie was in high school, and they probably showed us an edited cut because I don't remember any of that kind of content. So I'm sorry I didn't double check on that and drop the ball there. We definitely don't want to, you know, cause anybody to accidentally get exposed to some things that are going to be harmful to them. So we are going to go ahead and go forward with the discussion group if you'd like to be a part of that. And if you think that you're going to be able to successfully either skip that content so it's not a problem for you, or if you know that it's not going to be an issue for you, then that's still an option. But I wanted you guys to hear that I'm really sorry about not being aware of that and giving you guys the heads up about that beforehand. And I'll work really hard to ensure that this kind of thing doesn't surprise us in the future. So let's see. Oh, I've updated the post about the where you can get the link to watch 1984 on both summeroffree.com and christiangeekcentral.com to include a link that will take you to the IMDb page with the parental advisory, so you can get specifics on exactly what's going on in the content and then kind of make the decision for yourself whether or not that's something that you want to watch. Oh, and I almost forgot. If you are considering taking on the backlog burning, the deadline is August 9th. That's your last chance to get in touch with me and let me know that you've successfully completed a backlog burn. And basically what that means is you do 4 weeks. I think that's 28 days. Is that the math on that? 4 weeks where you do not spend any money on entertainment for yourself. And you can interpret it however you want. It's very loosey-goosey and it's all on the honor system. And if you do that, then your name will be celebrated in a video on the Christian Geek Central YouTube channel. And you'll also get to choose your choice of one free download product from spiritblade.com. So I just wanted to remind you guys of that. If you haven't started your backlog burn yet, check your calendar. Again, your deadline to let me know that you have completed yours is August 9th. So take a look at your calendar and have fun. All right, now on with the podcast.
Spirit Blade Underground, episode 465. Warning, access restricted. Please submit to DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Audio file encryption processing. Transmission decoded. Begin playback for system file. Spirit Blade Underground, episode 465.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast, a biblical examination and celebration of geekery and geek entertainment, as well as the official podcast of Christian Geek Central, a website and community you can check out at christiangeekcentral.com. I'm Peter Franson from Spirit Blade Productions, producing entertainment and resources to hopefully equip, encourage, and inspire Christian geeks like you and like me to live more and more for Christ. For more info and free goodies, check out spiritblade.com. All right, this is a special episode, especially because my phone's going off. Crap! All right, I got laundry to do. Hang on. All right, so there's a prime example right there of the rinky-dink seat-of-my-pants operation that Spirit Blade Productions has been for the last 10-plus years. This is a special episode because we are looking back at the very first episode of the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. Now, I remember when I launched Spirit Blade Productions in 2006, my aim, stated differently but still the same as this mission statement here, that Spirit Blade Productions is producing entertainment and resources to equip, encourage, and inspire Christian geeks like you and me to live more and more for Christ. That's stated more succinctly, but that's been the mission from day one. And from the start, I really felt like the way that was going to carry, the way that was going to be carried out, the way that was going to look, was going to be primarily me producing fictional entertainment in the form of audio drama. I really kind of had that as my nearly sole focus. And I anticipated that, you know, if that those audio dramas gained an audience, that I could create some kind of online atmosphere, of forums or something like that, those people could interact together and you know, relationships and whatnot could develop. But that was very foggy, you know, what that could look like or what that would be, very foggy in my mind. And it certainly wasn't central, you know. But as time passed, I've just seen this animal morph and change and shift into something I did not expect at all from the very beginning. During the kind of like my promotional efforts for the first Spirit Blade audio drama, I was on a podcast that I actually paid to be on. I can't remember the name of the podcast now, but this would have been, you know, in 2000, probably late 2006, maybe early 2007. And the audio drama released in September of 2006. And I paid to be on it to publicize, specifically to be interviewed and publicize this audio drama, you know. And during the, I can't remember if it was during the actual recorded interview or like when, you know, afterward when we were done recording, you know, she said to me after our interaction, after the interview, she says, you know, you should really be doing this, podcasting. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, you could just talk about whatever you're interested in and, you know, any kind of like geek interest and stuff that whatever you're into. And then and gain an audience that way was, I think, her idea. And then you also have built into that the opportunity anytime you want to promote and plug to that audience your audio dramas, you know. And so that idea really stuck with me. And it wasn't long after that that I kind of was like, you know, I guess I'm going to give this a shot. But I didn't want it to interrupt my work on audio drama stuff. And so I was just like, I'm not going to build it into my work hours. It's going to be this side thing. It is not going, I'm not going to sacrifice any time from producing audio dramas to do this. So I'm going to do it only on Friday nights at the end of the work week outside of my work hours. And so that was my habit. That was my pattern, is to do it every Friday night. And release it when I was done late Friday night. And slowly, probably more quickly than I had intended, I realized that this was gaining an audience and it was connecting with people. And it was very quickly more than just, in my mind, a means to get people to, you know, hear about the audio dramas at some point. It was in and of itself doing what I wanted to do with Spirit Blade Productions. It was connecting with geeks where they were at and bringing truth for them to think about and interact with, and then opportunity for them to interact with each other came, I want to say, a couple years later. There was a listener that kept again and again getting in touch with me and saying, we should have forums, you know. And I was like, oh man, that's just going to add to my extra workload outside of audio drama, and I don't have time for that. And I had just, I think, at that point, added the podcast production to my work hours, and so it was now taking a slice out of audio drama production. Not to mention increasing prep time for the podcast to do the In Search of Truth Bible study segment and to review a movie, you know, or something along those lines every Friday, you know. Before I knew it, with drive time, and still to this day with drive time, watching the movie, coming back, getting my notes down, and then spitting the review out, you know, or getting it onto the podcast. It was, you know, not YouTube at that time. It took up, you know, close to half of my workday, and now it usually does take up about half of my workday because of the added YouTube element and the thumbnails that get added on to, you know, those. That's kind of a recent thing. And but eventually, I did, you know, say, okay, let's do forums. You know, let's do it. Let's see what happens. You know, and it's not something that really exploded. But what I noticed was that there was this core, and continues to be this core, and it has grown a little bit. It's slow growing, because I think that's in part because of the nature of the community. One thing that I wanted to develop with the Spirit Blade Underground forums and that community was people that really, you know, yeah, wanted to geek out and have fun and stuff, but that also had a willingness to kind of get into deeper stuff together. And that's, you know, that's not what everybody necessarily is going to be into. And I think as social media has become by nature more and more superficial, you know, with like Facebook and with Twitter, it's been less and less about like investment in long-term conversation via text mediums. I think forums have just in general become less and less interesting to people. They're more interested in kind of like these quick little interactions that you don't have to invest in long term on, say, Facebook, or of course like on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, you know. So, but I still valued that, and so that stuck around, and as time passed, I realized more and more I was giving more and more of my audio drama work hours, quote unquote, to development of these other things. And it was a number of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, so maybe like halfway into where we are currently, that I kind of realized, you know, this all of this other stuff that I saw as extra at the beginning and as off point, it actually is dead on point, you know. And before I knew it, now the time that I give to audio drama production in a given workday easily represents the minority. I mean, I'm grateful if I can get in, you know, out of a, I would say I'm not full time, so it's not like 5 8-hour workdays because I have other things I'm responsible with, like with my boys and just our family and stuff. And so it's probably about maybe 6 to 7 hour workdays, 5 days a week. And I, on an average day, I'm grateful to get in 2 hours, you know, to do something related to audio drama production, these more long-term type things. And really my focus has become more and more about, these weekly kind of, bits of content that I put out for free that, you know, and now YouTube was added to that, I think was it as many as 3 years ago, 2 years ago? I can't remember now. But, and I did skip one thing. Eventually, you know, as you may or may not know, the Spirit Blade Underground forums, we rebranded all of that, and it became the Christian Geek Central forums, and we created the Christian Geek Central website at ChristianGeekCentral.com. And I did not rebrand the podcast at that time just because it had a really established audience, and I didn't want to, you know, have to rebrand that and start from episode one. I liked you know, having that brand name there and also having it connected to the audio dramas because, hey, I'd still love people to check out the audio dramas. That is the only way, apart from people who become Spirit Blade Insiders, that I am able to put money into this and have this thing sustain itself and to grow and to do more and more things, whether that's audio drama or other stuff. There's money that needs to be spent to make those things happen. So, so that's why I always introduce it now, is this is the Spirit Blade Underground podcast, blah, 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 as well as the official podcast of Christian Geek Central, you know, so that's kind of the halfway point. But anyway, that's just kind of an overview of the podcast and how it came about and what it has become. And even now, as I put content on the YouTube channel, and the two share overlapping content, you know, I take the audio now from my video reviews of movies and I use that audio on the podcast, but there are still some things on the podcast that are unique to the podcast, such as the In Search of Truth Bible study segment, which I am considering very carefully putting on YouTube in some form. I'm trying to figure out if I want to do that, if that would be useful, because there are just some other factors that I won't get into now that that might make that unuseful. So anyway, I'm considering that, but anyway, I think of the podcast audience in some ways as kind of like this, still as this faithful underground that's been with me and is more invested. You know, I think a lot of people that discover the YouTube content, they can just kind of cherry pick what they want, but people that are in, listen to the podcast, they're probably listening to it from beginning to end most times, you know, most listeners anyway. I'm sure there are some that, you know, like to skip around, and that's fine. But anyway, there's the podcast audience continues to have a special place in my heart. And so I wanted to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the beginning of the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. As I said, Spirit Blade Productions launched in September 2006, and then less than a year later, on June 27th, 2007, is when the Spirit Blade Underground podcast launched. And I wasn't really sure how to celebrate that at first, because I didn't want to do a whole bunch of like editing and like clips from the last 400, you know, creeping up on 500 episodes of the podcast. I did that once around episode 100, and it was like, oh, it was so much work. It was way too much work. So I thought this time I would just cause myself to cringe and embarrass myself a bit by listening to the very first episode of the Spirit Blood Underground podcast. I have not listened to this episode in years. I cannot remember the last time. It was probably more than 5 years ago, maybe as many as 8 or 9 years ago that I last listened to this episode of the podcast, this first episode of the podcast. And man, it's going to be rough. I know that much. So I'm going to fire that up. And what I'll do is I'll just kind of listen as it plays, and I'll pause it here and there and kind of interject my comments and my reactions. And then if I forget to mention this at the end, there is no podcast next week. My family, we are going out to visit my wife's family in Pennsylvania, and so I'm taking the week off. But you can plan on my Spider-Man review still going up. I'm going to record it on my iPhone, get it up there. I'm going to see it the day it goes out, the day it releases. And so you should be able to count on my thoughts for that movie, as well as other content that I will have auto-posting on YouTube while I'm gone. So, there will be no episode of the Spirit Blood Underground podcast next week. So anyway, okay, so that's what is on the show today. The rest of these notes that I have in front of me are pointless. So where did I put that episode of the podcast? Here we go. Very first episode, here we go. That's even what it's titled. Here we go.
Spirit Blood Underground, June 27, 2007.
Warning, access restricted, enter password. Begin DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Hello. All right. Let me talk about that intro a little bit. And gosh, I'll have to make sure that I have my ducks in a row, because that's music that I purchased. It's like royalty-free music that I have the rights to use. I'm pretty sure on YouTube. I'll have to double-check those rights. If there is a silence before this, or an edit point before this in the YouTube video, then you'll know that I did not have the YouTube rights for that. But that was, I purchased that music like before, gosh, I don't know when YouTube launched. YouTube was probably around, but it was not at all what it is now, just 10 years ago. So they might not have had like the licensing built into that, or I don't know. But anyway, that I had that music until, I want to say, episode 300, maybe. Someone else might know better than I would. But I wanted to, you know, right away in the intro and just in the way that I created the podcast from the beginning. Well, first off, I want to acknowledge Taylor Kent, who had a podcast, I don't know if it's still running, called Snark Infested Waters. And he's a Christian, and his podcast, I think, was coming from a Christian perspective, but it wasn't marketed to Christians. And but anyway, I can't even remember how I found out about his podcast. I think maybe, you know what? I think he reviewed the first audio drama. And that's how I found out about his podcast. And I began listening to it and really modeled kind of the format of my podcast off of his quite a bit, and others who were doing something similar. And that was to have these sound effects or short little musical bumpers. You know, it was much more, it was inspired by, you know, radio programming. And I wanted to really amp up as much as I could those kind of production elements in my podcast, because then, you know, a number of podcasts weren't doing that, but I wanted to prioritize that so that, you know, you would hear in these transitions interesting sound effects, you know, and you would, you know, I think as early as the first episode, I had the whole monitor room shtick, you know, where I say I'm, you know, I don't even know why I do it anymore. I just do it because I've always done it. But as I, you know, you're listening to Welcome to the Monitor Room. That's right, at the Spirit Blend Underground podcast. You know, and I've got like these little like machine sounds, like the computer, like almost like retro, we would say now, sci-fi computer sounds going on in the background, like little bits of telemetry and stuff. And I have that running underneath as like a kind of a bed of sound in the opening segment and the closing segment. And so, and then like the little shortwave radio type effects in between, you know, segments and stuff. And all that stuff was so that, one, so that it would be interesting. And two, so that when I mention, oh yeah, we do audio dramas, by the way, then the listener could say to themselves, oh, okay, so, you know, it would maybe build a little bit of credibility, you know, I guess, in terms of my my audio mixing abilities. But, oh, man, I had no credibility to establish early on. I mean, by this time, putting this out, I was probably working, I was working on already Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, and it was during the process of working on Spirit Blade Dark Ritual that I realized all the audio problems that were in the first version of Spirit Blade that released in 2006, and I hated listening to it more and more. And there's balance issues with the podcast here, where like the bumpers were too loud and the dialogue was, or my voice was too soft. All kinds of like balance issues. I'm still figuring this stuff out. I can't believe that I asked anyone to pay money for the first version of the audio drama that came out in 2006. But then I created, of course, the special edition in 2010 is when that when that released, and had a chance to finally fix all that stuff as I kind of hit you know, I was out of the steepest part of my learning curve by the time I finished Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, and I was much more consistent quality going forward after that. I was like, okay, time to go back and do that other one, so it'll stand the test of time. And so anyway, yeah, so that was my thinking in terms of like just how I use, you know, sound effects and, you know, little fun little bumpers and stuff like that. And now it's to the point, like years later, where for different review segments I actually put little like, I want to say like sketch comedy, I guess you would call it, you know, usually just me in a kind of a fictional little scenario, like, and I have a different themed one. I have one where I'm on the bridge of a starship that I put before sci-fi or space exploration movies. I have one where my son kills me at the end, and that's I put that in front of my horror movie reviews. And so I've got a handful of those that fit different types of fiction, or specifically movie reviews. And I've got one where I'm playing video games and getting into an argument with my computer, you know, that I play before video game reviews. And that all came much later, but it was still, you know, with that, in keeping with that same philosophy of, you know, when I, you know, I want people to like unwittingly be exposed to little samples of my audio drama side of work, you know, so that maybe they'll be interested when I mention the audio dramas to go and check them out in light of what they've heard on the podcast from week to week. So even, you know, that idea early on is really kind of stuck with the podcast, and still in the back of my mind, I think to myself, yeah, I when I get some time, I don't know when that's going to happen, I want to make maybe a couple more bumpers. I don't quite have the ideas in my head yet, but I'd like to make a couple more of those kind of like sketch comedy scenes that play up tropes of various bits of fiction or whatever. So anyway, yeah, that's something that stuck. All right, let's keep going. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. We've finally gotten around to doing this. I should say I have. I've just been thinking about doing a podcast for a while, and kind of the not knowing anything about it is what kept me from getting around to it. But I've finally gotten around to it now, so hopefully you guys will enjoy this. We're hoping to do this once every week. Normally this will come later in the week, but I'm going to be out of town this coming weekend, so I thought I'd try and get it done as early as possible. So the next couple weeks it'll probably come a little bit earlier than it usually does. Normally I'll probably try to put this together on probably Saturday and have it posted sometime over the weekend. So anyway, that's what you can plan on for the future. Yeah, that's right. I think what I would actually record it maybe on Friday nights and then edit it sometime on Saturday. That went away pretty darn fast, I think. I think pretty quickly I just ended up doing all of it as much as I could, because I didn't want it invading in my weekend at all, you know. What else? Oh, yeah, the Wii language. That took a while to kind of phase out, and I still use it every now and then. You know, early on, I guess I just felt like I wanted to come across as professional as I could, and it's not that I wanted to deceive anybody. And in my mind, when I say we, I'm still thinking, of me and my wife, who I've mentioned recently a number of times in the podcast, and also a few number of times over the years. She makes this possible because of the work that she does. She is the breadwinner for our family, and she works a job close to full time that really gives her no fulfillment, but it pays very well, and so we have a comfortable living, and it's the reason that I am able to do what I'm doing day to day in my office with Spirit Blade Productions and Christian Geek Central, and so I kind of have her in mind. She also does the tax return stuff and the grown-up number crunching when it's required, which isn't very often, just maybe a couple times a year she has to get in and make sure the books are cleaned up and stuff, but so I didn't feel like I was deceiving anybody with that, but at the same time, I think I wanted people to assume that we were a little bit more corporate, not corporate, but established. That's the word I'm looking for, established, than we are, and that just really kind of faded over time, and so I still haven't settled. I think I say I a lot more often in the way I talk about what I do and what in spirit when I'm talking about Spirit Blade Productions or Christian Geek Central. Christian Geek Central, I still will say we sometimes, and some of that is for the same reason, and some of that is also because Christian Geek Central and this podcast are often what they are, not because of me, but because of what other people bring to it, whether that's a question someone sends in or a segment that I play on the show of like a review they've done or some topic that they are interested in talking about or whatever, and that's really modeled after Tom Bassel's The Dice Tower, which is Tom Bassel is a believer, and he has possibly the most popular board game podcast. I think it might be. They might even say that at the beginning of it every time. I binge listen when I'm on road trips, but otherwise I don't listen to other podcasts really. Don't have much time for it, except for I guess I'm listening to William Lane Craig's Defenders podcast these days. But anyway, yeah. But Tom Bassel on the Dice Tower would have guest contributors, and that was going on pretty early on in the life of that podcast, and I thought it was kind of a cool model, and early on I thought to myself, well, gosh, if I could take some of the workload off of me so I don't have to take as much time away from audio drama, that'd be great. And so I tried to encourage that at some point, and then also just because, it's cool to get other perspectives and to just kind of get a sense of what the thinking is that's going on out there, and also just give some people a chance to do ministry and share truth in that other people will hear online, but without the trouble of having to run the ins and outs of a podcast and do that faithfully every week, and all the behind the scenes stuff involved with making sure it's working on iTunes and all the technical crap. But still have so to allow some people to kind of have a voice to share what they're processing with God, but without all the trouble that comes with that. So anyway, yeah, that's kind of where the I/we language was at the time and the reasonings for it, and how and why it is where it is today. Yeah, much more on the I side. I guess I just wanted at some point I was like, yeah, I want to come across as being professional and putting material out there that has excellence. I guess that's what I wanted more than anything else. And whether we like it or not, we do judge books by their cover, and so there are some things that we just, won't even bother checking out because our time is limited. And if if the book has a crappy cover, or if you look in the back of a novel and there's like a bunch of misspellings and grammar mistakes in the description of what the book is about, then it's like, okay. So I wanted to kind of meet people, where they reasonably are at, and give them a reason to stick around and to have confidence that if they do stick around, they'll experience content that's made in the pursuit of excellence. So Anyway, I'm kind of rambling now. This is probably going to go longer than I thought. We better get back into it here. If you found this podcast by mistake, you have no idea who I am. My name is Peter Franson, and I'm the creator of Spirit Blade Productions, and this is our podcast. We're an audio drama company that puts together Christian science fiction and fantasy audio drama that's dark and edgy. Our kind of motto or slogan, if you will, is unsterilized, unsafe, unleashed. So hopefully every time you listen to something of ours, you feel like you've encountered some truth. Yeah, and that motto, that slogan has gone away too. A number of years ago, it's more recently, but I think I still have an email account that has that as a tag at the very end. But I just realized that, you know, yes, that was a high value of the audio dramas, that Christians can enjoy fiction that is, you know, intense, and that is not always happy and sterilized and doesn't always end well and doesn't always have, you know, Christian characters that, you know, have it all together and never use foul language and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that remains a high value to me. But I also, at the same time, didn't want to kind of like limit the audience, especially when I put out something like episode one of Pilgrim's Progress, a Similitude of a Dream, which I am working on the rest of that series now. But that wasn't in particular, you know, edgy compared to Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, which was very dark and disturbing at times. And Pilgrim's Progress, I don't think, was dark and disturbing at all in the same sense. So that's that language has changed a bit.
From the Word of God, but at the same time, it's not in this really, you know, ultra family friendly, pasted on smiles kind of way that is just so far removed from reality that it's sick. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on right now. Let's see what we have for updates.
Update information.
Well, I suppose
that's right. I had this update segment, which has now been, it went away, and then eventually, I guess the next closest thing would be the NewsNet 1.0 segment. But this update section was only updates about Spirit Blade Productions projects. So it was about the latest progress in work that I'm doing on the audio dramas. Now, the news segment is in a similar vein. I don't really talk about progress on projects, but there's we've got the spiritblade.com, we've got the podcast, we've got Christian Geek Central, we've got the Christian Geek Central website, we've got the Christian Geek Central YouTube channel, and so that's kind of a spot now that I use in the podcast to update on the different stuff that's being released in those different places. If there's a new, you know, video newsletter that went out about Spirit Blade Productions and stuff, then I mentioned that that's gone up this week, or, you know, or if there's a video game, some kind of video game content or other content on the YouTube channel that doesn't translate to be featured on the podcast, then I mentioned that that's up, or what, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, but in the beginning here, it was all about updating people who probably didn't care about my latest progress on audio drama stuff.
The biggest update is, yes, that we have a podcast. And then as far as progress on Dark Ritual, Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, our next project, things are going well. Holly's my wife, we were out of town at the Truth Project conference this last weekend, and so some time that I would normally have spent at the end of last week on Spirit Blade got shaved off. But last week we made a lot of headway on several songs. We did a little bit more recording. We had our femme fatale villainess character come in and record. The actor came in and record. Or no, she didn't record. We just did some rehearsing to kind of get ready to record. So we'll be scheduling her recording session pretty soon here, I imagine. And then David, the young actor that's playing David, will come in for his third recording session tomorrow. So things are moving forward on that. I've got an actor coming in from out of town. The weekend of July 14th is when he'll be in.
All right, test one, two, test one. I just wanted to check and see where my voice is at, if my speaking voice has gotten any lower in the last 10 years. It's actually just sitting a little bit higher right now. I think that's partly because of my vocal fatigue, but anyway.
In town, and he's got a big part to play, and I'm really excited to have him out and record. So lots of things to look forward to. We're making really good progress, I believe that's all we have for updates.
Try primary feature.
Okay, and that bumper was the only bumper that I used for the main feature of the podcast for years and years and years before I started making those custom. So every week, if whatever the main feature was, if it was a review or some kind of topical thing related to geek culture or whatever, it was that exact bumper every single time. So now, I mean, you certainly, if you listen to the podcast, you know, every week you're very familiar, I'm sure, with every one of my handful of bumpers, you know, that I use for different types of reviews, but at least there's a little bit of variety, so.
The main feature each time of this podcast it's going to be kind of an open space where I can just kind of do whatever I want. I suppose this is the part where I'll kind of inject more of kind of my personal interests and stuff like that. Occasionally, though, we'll have interviews and things like that are related to Spirit Blade and the various stuff that we have going on over there. Incidentally, if you want more behind-the-scenes kind of stuff, you can go to www.spiritblade.net, and on the media page, there's a bunch of cool downloads and stuff, kind of free behind-the-scenes stuff that kind of complement Spirit Blade.
Yeah, that's a couple of changes there that have happened since then. One is we don't use .net anymore. I mean, spiritblade.net will still take you to the website, but and this was a fairly recent change. It was not early on, but .com, I got the .com for Spirit. At first, it was like whoever owned it was like holding it for ransom. It was a ridiculous amount of money to get that. And so I just ignored it. I got .net instead of .com, and it wasn't until years later that I checked in on it. It was like, oh, okay, now it's totally reasonable. They must have given up the ghost on, you know, trying to make a fortune off that one. So, now it's .com for both Spirit Blade and Christian Geek Central. And what was the other thing that was mentioned? The behind-the-scenes features. I had a growing page filled with behind-the-scenes features on the original website for Spirit Blade Productions. And, you know, the thinking there was just like, oh, people will spend more time there if they have like a ton to look at, you know. And when we switched over to the new website a few years ago, I decided to change that to be kind of like a rotating special feature where either a new special feature would be up every month or an old special feature would be up temporarily, you know, for a month. And that's kind of the model I'm trying right now, the intent there to be giving people a reason to come back, you know, every month and check out the new feature. Of course, I do a terrible job of plugging the fact that a new feature has gone up. Well, no, actually, no, that's not true. I've been doing okay with the, because we've been doing the commentaries. Oh, crap, I'm behind on recording commentaries for Spirit Blade: World of Shadows. All right, sorry about that. Put that on my, let me make a note here, get my sticky, I gotta stick this on my monitor, so S, or AWAS, com, all right, and I'm gonna stick that to my monitor there, and I keep a bunch of stickies all over my monitor. I just happen to have room right now, because I had a pretty productive couple of days at the end of last week. All right, let's get back into it.
And also, I think there's still a song up there for Dark Ritual, the upcoming sequel. But anyway, today I'm going to do a movie review, and I'd say maybe some comic book reviews here. I'm a huge geek. I love comic books. I'll probably review the week's comic books every week. I'll try not to give spoilers. This will usually be on, like I said, Saturday or Sunday, so you can always assume there will be spoiler warnings. I'll try to remind everybody at the beginning so it doesn't get ruined for them. So what am I basically reading now? I'm reading mostly DC.
I'm noticing right now something that I still struggle with, and that is the ums and uhs. And I remember somebody at one point early on kind of reviewed the podcast and mentioned the ums and the uhs, and there's another one right there. And I think I got a little bit better, maybe for a while. I think I've maybe gotten worse again. Oh, crap. Would I just destroy the video here? Where's the video? There it is. Okay, still working. All right, get this back here. Let's move this over here. All right, then I can see everything at once. All right. Sorry, for those of you listening strictly to the audio, I'm recording this at the same time as a video, and where I'm capturing my desktop, and I've also got a video of me in the corner, and anyway, it's adding to my difficulty
that I already have with technology. All right, let's keep going.
Very, very little of any other comic book. I just love the DC Comics universe. And I won't go into why, because that would we don't have time. And it's awesome. I'm reading Countdown right now, which is the kind of the second follow-up, I guess, to DC's Infinite Crisis a year ago, which basically brought back the multiverse, the concept of multiple parallel universes that the DC characters kind of adventure back and forth through. If you haven't read Infinite Crisis and you want a kind of a jumping on point for trying out comic books, go get the trade paperback for Infinite Crisis. It's a great place to start. A trade paperback is like a thick comic book that collects individual issues, and you can get it for much cheaper than trying to go back and get all the individual issues. But
now, why in the world would I say that? I feel like every geek worth their how do you end that sentence? Salt? Is it really salt? That sounds familiar when I say it, but any geek worth their, I don't know, doubloons knows what a trade paperback is. Well, early on, you know, and I also mentioned, you know, in the opening of the podcast that, you know, that I'm a huge geek and stuff like that, you know. Part of that was because the very first people that were being made aware of the podcast were people that were supporting me, but weren't necessarily geeks. You know, extended family, extended people in my circle of friends. So people that weren't necessarily geeks, but yet I was letting them know, hey, the first episode of my podcast is going up, da 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 da. So in a little, you know, I think early on there, I was also kind of just reaching out to people who might be listening to this, might be giving this podcast to try that aren't necessarily geeks, you know, but that maybe they would end up at least recommending it to somebody who is. So I think that's what that was about.
That's a great place to start. If you want to check out the DC Universe, it's a sequel to 1985's Crisis on Infinite Earths. All these, like 20 years later, they finally did a sequel, but it was really cool. And then after that was 52, which was the weekly comic book event. Every week a comic book came out that kind of in real time, as it were, told what happened in the DC Universe over the course of 1 week, and it all eventually adds up to a year. And now DC is doing Countdown, which is a follow-up to that, and this is really good stuff. And so I'll just take a look at it here. We've got Jason Todd back from the dead. That was the second Robin, and he's been going around as a guy calling himself the Red Hood, which is what the Joker called himself just before becoming the Joker. So it's kind of interesting. He's a little bit of an anti-hero. He is willing to kill if the situation calls for it. It's not his first choice, but that kind of separates him in terms of what kind of hero he is. And this series, it seems to be focusing in on several characters. Donna Troy, who used to be Wonder Girl. Jason Todd, who used to be Robin. Kyle Rayner, who's calling himself Ion these days. He used to be Green Lantern. And let's see, a couple others. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Olsen. It's weird stuff going on with Jimmy Olsen. It's like he's getting bursts of power. Like he got super speed for a little bit, and then he got like stretching powers, and he's really not sure what it's all coming from, but he's kind of a lot of the story is focusing on him, and he's kind of trying to explore what's going on with him and what's going on with this new god named Light Ray.
That sounds like a terrible storyline. I don't remember that. That sounds like a gimmicky, all right, we don't know what to do. Let's give this person superpowers that normally doesn't have any. And this person who has superpowers, let's take him away for a while. You know, those kind of temporary gimmicks. But anyway, this is a weird little trip through a memory lane as all these old comic book stories.
He's not literally a god in the comic books. That's just what they call him. He's really uber powerful. But anyway, he showed up dead on Earth. He just crashed to Earth. And so Jimmy Olsen's kind of investigating that and trying to figure out what's going on. Meanwhile, there's like this group of men called the Monitors that are kind of not liking that people from these various parallel universes are crossing over one to the other. And one of them is almost kind of renegade, and he's going out and like killing people that like he thinks shouldn't exist for whatever reason, because of the timeline or something like that. It's like, you know, there's some, they're a paradox, and so therefore they should die. And so the other monitors are not agreeing with him, but this kind of rogue monitor is like sending out an assassin to like take down these kind of paradoxes or these anomalies in the parallel universes. And so anyway, It's an interesting story. I'm not sure where it's going, but it's very intriguing. So I'm going to keep reading that. One of the few Marvel comics I'm reading, Ultimate Spider-Man. The Ultimate Marvel Universe is separate from the regular Marvel Universe. So if you like Marvel characters, but you don't, you don't want to try and keep track of all the continuity, there's just less continuity to keep track of in the Ultimate Universe. Although Ultimate Spider-Man is on issue 110, but you can go back and get like the trade paperback of the first few issues of Ultimate Spider-Man, and it's a really good read. You can tell that the movie took some inspiration from the comic book, or maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember which one started first. I think Ultimate Spider-Man started before the first Spider-Man movie. But anyway, as good as it is, though, this is there's a storyline that I think is just wrapping up now that involved Daredevil and the Kingpin and some other Marvel kind of karate kung fu kind of guys. As good as it is, I'm really debating going just to buying the trade paperbacks from this point on, just because DC's putting out a lot of great stuff and I owe my allegiance to them. And so when I'm running low on funds and I can't get all the DC books I want, it's kind of frustrating. So I'm thinking with my Marvel books, I'm going to just start doing the trade paperbacks.
Oh, man. That was the beginning of the end, wasn't it? If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I was a weekly comic book collector for many years. And many years prior to this first episode of the podcast. And I have not purchased a weekly comic book for at least 3 or 4 years now. I don't know. Whenever the DC's New 52 launched, I hung on for about a year after that, but rapidly dropped book after book after book, you know, on a monthly, almost weekly basis. And to the point now where I'm not even keeping up with DC via trade paperback anymore, and only on a whim do I go back and it's like, oh yeah, I do eventually want to finish reading the Ultimate Marvel Universe stuff now that they've closed that off. You know, I do want to finish that off. You know, it was for the most part, you know, good stuff, although not as good as it all started out. But yeah, it's interesting to kind of hear where I was at this point.
Back to DC. Okay, major spoilers here for Flash number 13. And Justice League of America number 10. So if you plan on reading those, stop, fast forward for a while. I'll try to make it brief, but here's your chance to fast forward now. Okay, so here's the big news. Wally West has returned to the DC Universe. Wally West is the Flash. He's been the Flash for about 20 years of comic book publishing. And he was gone. He disappeared last year. Nobody knew what happened. But he's back now as the Flash, which I am thrilled because the writing sucked when they had Bart Allen come on as the Flash. That was terrible. I almost dropped the book, which is amazing to me because the Flash has always been one of my absolute favorite reads. So I'm really thrilled that they've brought the Flash back. They're going to have something called All Flash number 1 next month, which is going to kind of tie loose ends between Bart Allen as the Flash and Wally West picking up as the Flash now. And then it's going to continue with the original numbering that the Wally West series had when he was the Flash. So this is a good jumping 2 months from now, or even next month with All Flash number 1 is a great jumping on point if you want to check out the Flash. Let's see here.
Gosh, yeah. I think that was, they brought the Wally West back, but they aged his kids up and he started going on superheroic adventures with them. Oh, man. I did not like that. I did not like the way that was handled. I wanted them to tell a story about a superhero who was a dad, but whose kids weren't coming into the line of fire with him, but rather he was trying to balance doing this stuff that only he could do to help keep people in the city or the world safe, and at the same time invest in the family that he has a responsibility to invest in and love as a husband and father. I wanted that kind of story. I felt like that was something people could relate to. I don't know what dad can relate to bringing their kids out to fight hardened criminals with them. Definitely not as many dads. And one thing that I also noticed here, and that is that I said that the writing sucked. And I have moved away from, more and more over the years, but I think there was a significant shift at some point, less than 5 years ago, I think, where I started moving away from what I would call maybe objective expressions of opinion, where you say the writing sucked. And, you know, we know, or at least we should know, and I think we would all say that we do know, that that's an opinion. And yet, when someone says that something sucks, if it's something that you love, I think you are much more likely to kind of get defensive or to get on edge when they say that sucks than if they were to say, oh, I didn't enjoy that, or oh, I didn't like that, or oh, you know, that was really hard. That was hard to get through that book, you know. Instead, talking about their own experience, like, this is what it felt like to me, this is the experience I had with that. And that's the language I've tried to shift over to a lot more, because, as I've used this phrase a number of times in, I feel like, the last year or so, I want to have a voice in people's lives. And yes, sure, we should all, you know, remember that other people, when they're, you know, even when they're using objective language, all they have when it comes to this kind of like aesthetic thing, this aesthetic preference, they have their, all they have is an opinion. They might think they, you know, have more than opinion. I think if they were cornered, they would say, that's just an opinion, you know. But whatever they think of their own view, at the end of the day, it's just an opinion. But yet we forget that. And then we also forget, as I certainly do, that our self-worth is not tied to the things that we enjoy. Our identity is not tied to the things that we enjoy, or whether or not other people like those things, you know. And yet I've known that for years, and I've battled against that for years, and I still have not rid myself of that problem of forgetting that other people are spouting off opinions, and forgetting that my self-worth and my identity is not tied to the things that I passionately enjoy. And so because of that, I thought, well, I've been fighting this battle for years. I can't be the only one who's fighting this battle and seeing, you know, not near as much progress in it as they'd like. And there's probably a bunch of other folks that aren't even fighting that battle and aren't even kind of, you know, seeing things with a healthier perspective than they should. So in order to retain a voice in people's lives, I've tried to shift my language as I review things over to more objective or subjective, excuse me, language. And in that way, hopefully, even when I, you know, say, oh, yeah, I didn't enjoy this, you know, that, you know, it'll have less of an impact on somebody, and they'll be more willing to listen to me talk about something else that actually has value and worth, you know, something about the Bible or something about life, you know, if I don't come off as a jerk, you know. I've been listening to Ravi Zacharias lately, and he's used this Hindu metaphor, Indian metaphor. I can't remember which, if it specifically comes from Hinduism or not, but that his mother used to say, that's true just because it's true, you know. What did she say? She said, I'm probably getting this out of order, but there's no sense in, once you've cut off somebody's nose, there's no sense in giving them a rose to smell, you know. And so if I want people to smell the rose that I'd like to offer them in terms of things of actual worth, then I don't want to cut their nose off while I'm talking about, you know, laser gun stories. So, anyway.
Justice League, great stuff. Not going to talk about it, though. It didn't come out last week. I haven't read the issue that came out last week. I just realized it, that I haven't read it yet, so I need to read it when I'm done here. The Brave and the Bold. This is a great book. Issue 4 just came out last week. If you want to get an overview of different characters in the DC Universe, but one cohesive, interesting plot, this is a great book. I've really been enjoying this. Mark Waid does the writing, and he's, of course, a fantastic writer for DC Comics. And George Perez does the art, and it's just really well done. This week's issue that I have not read yet pairs up Supergirl and Lobo. So that's what it is. Every week it's a different pairing of superheroes that normally you wouldn't maybe see together, but it just gives you an overview of all these different characters in the DC Universe. So that's a great way, and it's not really continuity heavy either. It doesn't get caught up in all the other stuff going on with the DC Universe, at least not right now. Maybe it will in the future, but that's a great place. If you want to check out the DC Universe, I'd recommend The Brave and the Bold. It's a fantastic series. And then lastly, this book is not being published anymore, I don't think, but I've started going back and collecting back issues of Valiant Comics' Solar Man of the Atom. And this is a great comic book. It's just really exploring, you know, what would really happen if someone got superpowers. What would they do with them? Would they Would they do good? Would they do evil? Would they try to do good but end up doing evil, you know, unintentionally? So it's just been a fantastic read. If you live in the Mesa area, don't read this comic because I'm looking for the back issues and I don't want you to steal any of them. But if you don't live in the Mesa area, check this comic out, or you can go online and look for back issues there. The first 10 will be a little bit pricey, but if you're a comic book geek like me and you want to try something new, I'd highly recommend it.
All right, I got a comment on that. The first 10 are the ones that are pricey, probably because they're the ones that are worth reading. I really was enjoying that series very early on, but I lost interest. I don't know. I mean, it was well past 10 that I was still enjoying them, but I think that maybe they either got a different writer or the writer took a totally different tactic after the first main story arc. In response, I think, to just them wanting to sell more comics. That if you look at the Valiant comics of that time period, there was, you can see at some point a shift where it was all about like laser guns and explosions and just normal comic booky action without philosophical substance. And he was really playing around with some, I think Jim Sterling is the name of the writer. Wait a minute. Can that be right? Isn't Jim Sterling the, It might be two different Jim Sterlings. I think there's maybe the Brit who like really bitingly criticizes people in gaming, in the gaming culture, and then I think there's the Jim Sterling that's a writer. Maybe is there somebody's gonna have to Google that and tell me. But that's the name that's coming to mind as the writer of this book. And anyway, it became very stereotypical. Action-y, comic booky, you know, after I can't remember how many issues, but the first 10 were heavily inspired, I think, by Dr. Manhattan from the Watchmen story by, I'm going to lose all my comic book cred now, Alan Moore. Woohoo! A little recovery there. But anyway, yeah, I wouldn't recommend that whole series.
Lastly, a review for The Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer. I did not like this movie. I enjoyed the first one. It was kind of fun, and I put that in quotes, but it was a little family-friendly for my tastes. It wasn't quite as intense as I would have liked it to be. The dialogue was a little bit cheesy, and I'm talking about the first one. The second one takes all that even further. I mean, the dialogue is just terrible. There's not much action for the first 30 minutes, which is really surprising to me. Now, the Silver Surfer, he looks awesome. I will say that. He looks fantastic, and you love seeing him in action. The cheap thing is, and there's a little bit of spoiler here, if you want to fast forward, you can, but there's a plot device they bring in that basically takes away his power for a while. Basically, they turn him into a guy in a rubber suit for a while, and he's not doing any cool stuff, and I'm sure that they did that in the script to cut back on the budget. I mean, it's almost just painfully obvious that that's why they did that, because he just looks so freaking cool when he has his powers and he's the Silver Surfer and stuff, and he's still technically, I guess, kind of the Silver Surfer, but it's a dude in a rubber suit. It looks weird. It doesn't work. It's not very impressive. And like I said, the dialogue is really cheesy. These are not realistic characters. The first one, by comparison, even though I thought it was kind of weak because it was a little bit fun and family-friendly, was much better, I thought, than this one. Gosh, maybe when we have kids, which is on the horizon for us, then, you know, these are the kind of movies I'd want to watch with them, at least rather than like the Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl or whatever it was that came out, you know, a few years back, you know. This kind of crap would be a lot better than that. So, you know, lesser of two evils, I suppose, for me one day. So if you have kids and you want to take them to something that will be kind of, you know, tolerable for you too, then the Rise of the Silver Surfer might be a good choice. But otherwise, if you're a comic book fan and you like good comic book action movies, you're going to be really disappointed, I think.
Yeah, and again, there's, you know, that kind of predictive language. You know, you're not going to like this, you know. I don't, Peter, shut up. You don't know. You cannot predict. But I mean, maybe there's somebody listening that's going to be true of, but you're just giving every reason, every excuse for someone to say, that was not my experience. Of course, Peter, what were you thinking? So one more reason why I get away from that language. Oh man, I forgot. That was the first movie that I reviewed for Spirit Blade Productions. Rise of the Silver Surfer. Holy crap. Yeah, I still stand by my opinion, though. I did not like that movie.
So anyway, that's it for reviews.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
One reason I changed the bumpers and stuff is because later on, I can't remember how many years later, another review of the podcast commented that the little robot voice that I was using was hard to understand. And so that's one of the reasons that I switched over, you know, changed the bumper at the beginning instead of having it say the date or whatever, you know. And by that time, there was a better voice that I could use that was available. But that female voice is actually my voice, if you hadn't guessed that or couldn't tell that, but I just took on a softer tone. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. And then I just pitched it up just a little bit. And there have been a couple times where I've used that technique to get a female voice. And it's also distorted. I put an effect layer on top of it that would distort it just a little bit. So anyway, that was me.
Okay, today we are searching for truth in the Gospel of John chapter 7. This is something we're going to do every week, is I'll kind of recap and maybe expand on a little bit the Bible study that we have on our on the Spirit Blade Underground weblog. That's updated every Monday. So if you want to be a part of our Bible study and just kind of see, okay, what does the Bible really say about stuff? Not just what do pastors and priests and people like those say, but what does actually the Bible say? I think that's really important for us to do.
Yeah, I want to clarify what I was getting at there was not that, you know, I can teach the Bible and, you know, priests and preachers and pastors can't. So I didn't clarify there. I try to be more careful with my words, but now. I guess I was talking about like nice idea preaching and how there are a lot of churches still that maybe a sermon will be based on one verse, but largely it's read at the beginning of the sermon, and then the pastor or whoever's talking just kind of goes off on whatever their thoughts are. They might even quote a bunch of academic sources and stuff, but they're not really spending their time acquainting the listener with the Bible and with the passage and what the words of the text are and what they say. And that was really my intent. I am wired, you know, as if you've ever heard of like taking a spiritual gifts survey, you know, these are surveys that different ministries have put together to help people figure out, okay, how has God wired you specifically to, you know, and what strengths specifically could you potentially bring that would be energized by the Holy Spirit and that would be useful in equipping other people in the local church body that you're a part of, you know. And I've taken several surveys of those from different organizations and, you know, people that have, you know, designed those. And consistently, teaching comes up at the top for me. That's just kind of, I'm wired to want to learn and then share what I learn with other people. So that's why from the beginning of the podcast, it's like, well, I could definitely fill time and would enjoy, you know, doing that, you know, on a weekly basis. And so anyway, that's why that In Search of Truth segment has been consistently a part of the podcast from the very beginning. It's not always there every week. In fact, we're on a bit of a stretch now where it's absent. But it's certainly why it is, you know, why it has been there and a defining part of the podcast since the very beginning.
Because we can get off on rabbit trails if all we do is get our sense of truth from pastors and priests and other spiritual leaders in our lives. Those people are great, and we need them. The Bible even says that we need them. We need their instruction. We need to honor them. But we can't we can't just walk our spiritual lives just from listening to them. What we need to do is really just explore the Word of God and see what it actually says, so that we can always make sure that we're following the path of truth. So that's what we're doing here at the Spirit Blade Underground, both in the weblog and then each week on the podcast as well. We've been going through the Gospel of John because Jesus is just central to Christianity, and a lot of people today, they might not like Christianity, but they like Jesus, and they value what Jesus says. And so that's where we're starting. We want to see, okay, if Jesus is a lot easier to accept than Christians and church and Christianity, well, then let's explore what Jesus said.
Yeah, I still regret, at one point early on, it got later and later, and time, more and more time passed, I never got around to it, but I had thought at one time of going back and recording myself reading the In Search of Truth written versions leading up to this, because I think I just said we were in like the Gospel of John chapter 7 or something already. I zoned out for a second there, sorry. But I was like, oh gosh. So if you've not been following the blog, if you're not interested in going back and reading and catching up to where we are at, then you're just starting, you know, in the middle of this story, having already begun and already well established itself, you know. And and so for that reason, I meant to go back and re-record those. And now years later, as I thought about going back and doing that, I thought, well, if I'm going to go back to the Gospel of John, I would just rather re-study and reteach it, because I think I've grown as both a student and a teacher, over the last 10 years. And, some of my old In Search of Truth segments that I've had reason over the years to go and check what I said on something, you know, I'm like, I'd rather redo this, you know? All right.
It's been pretty, I imagine, interesting for some folks as we've been going through this to see, wow, did Jesus really said this? I mean, this is some wild stuff that I wouldn't have thought of him having said. So we're in chapter 7 this week. And Jesus, you know, whenever you hear that name spoken out loud or in the media, it almost always brings with it controversy, you know, and sometimes it, you know, people just hearing the name out loud, they just kind of tense up, or maybe you and I sometimes tense up when we're in a kind of a, you know, secular, who knows what anybody believes environment, and you say the name Jesus out loud, I know for me, it can sometimes feel a little bit awkward, you know, when you don't know how the person's going to respond to you saying the name Jesus, you know, for whatever reason, there's just kind of tension and controversy that comes with that name. And this was like no more true than in Jesus' own time when he was walking on the earth. People were constantly divided in their opinions of him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:35, I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, that sounds kind of harsh. I mean, did he come to just start a fight and that's, you know, just start fights? I mean, that seems totally contrary to what, you know, him constantly talking about the peace that he brings to our lives. So what does he mean by that? Well, basically, Jesus came to reveal who God is. And in doing so, he knew that he would separate the world into two groups, those who belong to God through their belief and those who do not. That's even actually in the Gospel of John. To our lives. So what does he mean by that? Well, basically, Jesus came to reveal who God is. And in doing so, he knew that he would separate the world into two groups, those who belong to God through their belief and those who do not. That's even actually in the Gospel of John.
Oh, okay. I guess that's some corruption in the audio file. Sorry about that, guys.
John, we can't, you know, Jesus knew that that people would either believe in him or they wouldn't, and he knew that that would shatter some homes. So he didn't come to just kind of put a big Band-Aid on everything and make us all feel warm and fuzzy. He came to establish reality, to make clear what truth is. Let's see here. In chapter 7, it's kind of interesting that the division that he starts causes starts with his own, like in his own family, with his own brothers, and that if they hadn't seen any of his miracles, which they probably hadn't based on the text, then they would have found it especially hard to believe, because I mean, this is their big bro, you know, they'd known him all their lives, you know, they'd seen him scrape his knee while playing, and they'd smelled his BO while they were working together. So I found that interesting as I was reading through chapter 7 this time. But it may be that their unbelief was helped along by the fact that Jesus accused everybody of sin and evil. And we see that in verse 7. And no one likes to be told that they've sinned or that they're a bad person, I put that in quotes, or that they're evil. But the Bible is very clear on what is evil and what is good.
You know, one thing that that I was just suddenly reminded of now is that the format of how I teach through a passage of the Bible has changed significantly. I think in these early days, I was waiting to hear, like, okay, which verses are you going to cover? And I was like, oh, crap, you know what? Back then, I think I just did a chapter a week. I certainly didn't read through. It was just like that's one of the reasons why, as I was looking back at my notes, and I was like, oh, if I didn't even properly do this. Because I think early on what I would do is I would read the chapter, I'd make some notes, and they were just more like broad thoughts. It was, I don't think it was strictly a verse-by-verse affair. I think I would just kind of read the whole chapter, and then there'd be a few verses that would kind of pop out to me, and I would just kind of respond or talk about those a little bit. And then at some point, it shifted, like when I would realize, oh, I want to take more time with this. Then I would take a little more time, and I'd split it up. Okay, now it's going to be chapter 7, part 1, and now next week will be chapter 7, part 2. I can't remember when I started getting specific about, like, okay, now this week we're doing chapter blank versus blank through blank. But I don't think it was too long. Maybe it was just a year or less that I found myself doing that on the podcast. And now, I mean, as you guys might know, we can find ourselves moving at a crawl now and then. It was not that long ago in the book of Ephesians that in chapter 4, if I remember correctly, we spent 2 weeks looking at just verses 1 through 3 of that chapter. there's even been, I'm almost positive, one or two times where it's like, okay, this week we're just looking at this verse. That's it, you know. So, and then other times, you know, we'll go about 10. I think on average, what I try to do is about 10 verses at a time, depending on the flow and where the natural breaks are in like the continuity of thought, you know, of the author. So, but I mean, what I always, you know, all things being equal, I go, let's see if we can do about 10 verses, you know. But that's yeah, definitely differs, and definitely differs from what this animal is. Oh man, I'm like, are you kidding me? You're not going to go verse by verse through this? Are you crazy? There's so much stuff here. What are you thinking?
And I think it's those absolutes that often make people so offended by Christianity in the Bible. We all kind of want to do our own thing, you know, that I'm entitled to do what I want to do and believe what I want to believe. And we very quickly play the victim when we feel judged. You know, when someone disagrees with something that we're doing, or if someone has a different viewpoint on, you know, how to live life, we very quickly kind of like become the victim. And it's like the ultimate trump card to say, oh, you shouldn't judge. You shouldn't judge. And we'll probably come back to some time about what that really means to judge someone. You know, I do want to make it clear that Christians are not meant to go around waving a superior finger at unbelievers. That's hypocritical and ridiculous, really. But although Christians are not meant to go around waving kind of a finger in people's faces and, you know, putting them down and whatnot, Jesus makes no apologies for speaking the truth and clearly defining good and evil. Because Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was God in the form of man. And he knew that he had every right to speak to his creation and say, this is the truth. This is right. This is wrong. So even though Jesus, yes, he's all about love and he's all about acceptance, he's also about the truth.
Yeah, another thing that I'm just thinking about here as I listen to this is I think in those early days, my focus was more about bringing things out of the text that specifically were related, that were specifically in opposition to popular cultural thought. Or popular spiritual thinking. And it was, and I think at the end, I don't know if we'll hear it at the end of this or not, but I used to have what I called a coffee house question. I had a question at the end that was meant to kind of stimulate further thought or even like start a conversation between the listener and someone else they're hanging out with or whatever. And I don't really think that was a good idea. And so I ditched that after a while. I can't remember if I replaced it with anything at the moment, but I also shifted at some point, I'm not sure when, if it was around when we launched Christian Geek Central or not, but now if you listen to this segment, there's a break. I go through verse by verse, and then after I've kind of done exegesis, or in other words, pulling out from the text what is present in the text, instead of, you know, reading my own thoughts into it and making the text say what I want to say. But the idea of exegesis is pulling out truth contained in the text. Once I've done just kind of a general exegesis on the passage, then I have a break in my notes that you guys hear me say, and that it's also in the text version on when you read it at ChristianGeekCentral.com. It says, so what's in all this for geeks? And that was a few years ago. I decided that I wanted to specifically do application with every passage that we studied toward geeks and what is often common among geeks, what character traits, what strengths, what weaknesses are often true of geeks, or what background life elements are often true of geeks, you know. And so it's hard for me to think that there was a time that I didn't do that. You know, I was kind of like thinking, okay, well, the geek part of the podcast is the review or whatever, you know, and then this is just Bible study, you know. And then as I more and more started, I think, talking about the spiritual themes found in the stuff I was reviewing and talking about in the main section, at some point I kind of felt like, you know, and now the kind of like the converse of that, I want to bring out what is relevant specifically to geeks from this passage that was written to ultimately be read by and interpreted by all believers.
And we'll see some more of that next week, that kind of comparison of the two sides of Jesus, that he forgives, but he also warns of judgment. Jesus, again, came into, you know, was butting heads with the religious leaders. Jesus really likes, and this I'm so thankful for, he likes to strip away the trappings of just cold ritualistic religion and really get at the heart of what Scripture really says and what Scripture really values. You know, these religious leaders, I think there are plenty of these type of religious leaders that exist today that, really wanted people to uphold the letter of the extra laws that they had established as a kind of complement, and I put that in quotes, to the law of God. These guys kind of made a living, adding new ways to, you know, new aspects to God's law, when they shouldn't be tampering with that at all. They should be helping people to understand the law of God, but they shouldn't be adding to it. You know, these guys had crazy ideas like, okay, we're supposed to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And they're like, okay, so we shouldn't work on the Sabbath. You know, that much seems pretty clear that we should rest on that day. But now let's add a whole list of things that, you know, that will define what it means to rest, you know. And it was last week, I believe, in chapter 6, when they were coming down on a guy for carrying his mat around, the mat that he had been laying on because he'd been he'd been crippled for years, or was it blind? I can't remember now. But anyway, these Pharisees, they added all these extra little laws to hold people accountable to, so they could, I don't know, feel special or feel spiritual or whatever it is that they were hoping to gain out of that. But
So I want to comment on that just a second, and you might have seen, if you're watching YouTube, me put my finger up. That's because my son is outside the door and wants to talk to me about something, so I'll have an edit point coming up here in a second. But I think also early on in the life of the podcast, I was not steering geeks to the local church like I certainly do today and want to do today. I can't remember when I started that emphasis. I feel like I've had that emphasis for as long as I can remember. And yet, as I listen to this podcast and I think back to the beginning, like, you know, I wasn't doing that at first. I think
early on, I was maybe guilty of getting on the same bandwagon that I think a lot of folks can get on, where it's like it's not cool to be a Christian. And so I want to establish that I'm not like those lame Christians. I'm not like those churchy people, you know. And, you know, and I think maybe the heart there, the intention there to kind of reach the unchurched, that's good. But to perpetuate this stereotype of like the church being out of touch is only going to keep people away from those churches that are endeavoring to be in touch. I've been going to a church since the beginning of high school that really makes it a priority to meet people where they're at, and they are keeping their feet firmly planted on the ground. They are not just all about talking a bunch of flowery Christianese talk, and you know, and it's all a bunch of hypotheticals and academic musings, you know. But no, it's about like, how do we do this? Let's get real with each other. How do we live this life that we're being called to? How do we really experience the freedom that the Bible talks about? I don't feel that freedom, you know, and just being real, you know. Yeah, but I think early on I was much more like wanting to acknowledge that there are a lot of churches out there that are more ritualistic. They are more on the religious side. In other words, just about the trappings of doing and activity and pattern and stuff like that and rules to obey and stuff. And they're not about relationship. They're not about the pursuit of truth. They're not about, you know, real transparency in community unified by Christ, you know. And that's certainly what I want to point people to today, because there are some great churches, likely one not too far from you, where you can experience that kind of life and that kind of community. So, but anyway, if you go back and listen to these early episodes, that's probably the flavor you're going to pick up from me, is less about the local church and more about how just acknowledging, yeah, there are problems with Christian culture, but I'm not part of that problem. little recognizing, you know, my own faults and the ways that I am a part of the problem so often. So
Jesus, he was quick in chapter 7 to just cut through the faulty logic of all the additional rules for the Sabbath that they had invented. You might notice I'm not quoting chapter 7 a lot. That's because we really hope that you, before you listen to this part of the podcast each week, will read the chapter. Even before you read the notes for the Bible study on Monday.
Yeah, that was something I really... Speaking of well-intentioned, you know, yeah, it was my intention. I mean, I really held off for a long time on reading the verses before talking about them on the podcast. I really wanted, my heart in that was that people would listen to this and they'd say, I don't get what's going on. I should read this the next time before the podcast. But, you know, you can't force people to do anything. And so I think I was just wanted to meet people where they were at, you know, like, you know, probably they're not. In fact, I took a survey at one point and asked people that were willing to comment, how, you know, do you read this beforehand, you know, and I think most people said that they did not, you know. And so I was just like, you know what, at some point I was just like, I'm just going to start reading the passage before every time that we do this. And by that time, I wasn't doing a chapter at a time. So that would have been prohibitive, because most Bible translations do not permit you to quote an entire chapter of their translation without getting special permission, you know. So anyway, yeah. Now... yeah, I read the entire thing, and I think, I could be wrong, but I think even when I put the notes up online, I paste the entire passage that the study is covering that week, so that people can just read it. They don't even have to get their Bibles out, you know. So yeah, I mean, it would still, of course, be my desire that that people get into the Word. But you have lots of other reasons to get into the Word, and, you know, at the end of the day, this is probably just going to be a supplement for most people. Hopefully, this will just be a supplement to their own daily reading in the Word. And if not, then maybe it will, something about the study will encourage them to dig in on their own. That's something I try to encourage in the opening of that segment every week. maybe on Sunday afternoon as part of your Sabbath, as part of your resting and focusing on God, maybe after church, you will read through the chapter that we're going to be discussing on Monday. Or if you want and you have time, you can read through it just before we go through it on Monday, just before you read the blog. So moving along. Now, although Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is the prophetic birthplace of the Messiah, no one bothered to ask where he was originally from. You know, they just kind of assumed he's from Galilee, so they just assumed he'd been there his whole life. And a bunch of people in the crowd, they just kind of dismissed Jesus without exploring him more deeply. You know, like, isn't this guy from Galilee? Well, forget that. The Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem. But what you and I know, if from nothing else, from a little town of Bethlehem and Christmas songs like that, but it's also recorded in Scripture, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And these folks, they didn't want to investigate any further. They just looked at the surface information and they said, okay, well, we've kind of figured Jesus out and what he's all about. But because they didn't ask questions, they missed out. They missed out on the truth of where Jesus was born and that further evidence that, wow, this guy could really be the Messiah. He could really be this incredible figure that God promised to lead us and guide us. I think this should be an example for us today. And I think even if you're, whether you are a Christian or whether you're a Buddhist or whatever you're following, when we look at the character of Jesus, we shouldn't just assume that we've got him figured out because we've watched enough lame Hallmark movies where he talks like he's, you know, I don't know, high or something, and he's just not a real person and stuff, and that's our, you know, that's where we get, you know, our idea of who Jesus is from. Sorry, I've got a little bone to pick with some of those cheesy TV movies of the past that have Jesus in them, and he's like, oh, peace I give to you, and he's just kind of even creepy a little bit. But I completely lost track of what I was saying.
Yeah, that's not the last time that's going to happen, Peter. Holy crap.
Oh yeah, we need to explore the claims of Jesus and explore it at the source. Look at the Bible, particularly look at the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, and really read and say, okay, who did Jesus really say he was? Instead of just going off of whatever pop culture comes up with, or whatever my pastor says, or whatever, you know, weird ideas whoever gave me, let's really investigate who Jesus is. Let's see here.
Yeah, one thing, when I paused there for a second, I ended up commenting on my losing my train of thought, but actually what I originally was going to pause there for was to remark on my comment, you know, said, you know, whether, you know, if you're a Christian or if you're a Buddhist, you know, I think that the assumption that I made more often early on is that the content I'm creating was for non-Christians, as well as Christians. And I think, I mean, that's certainly true of the Spirit-Led audio drama. It wasn't until sometime, I think, before the release of the actual audio drama, but when I was writing it and when it was being performed live, I was thinking of it as a kind of an outreach type of thing, you know? I've really shifted my thinking on that. And that was happening, I think, even as I was getting ready to release the audio drama, in recorded format, or if not then certainly soon after, that, you know, I really don't subscribe, as I did at one time, to the idea that we should use media as outreach in place of relational evangelism. That's the model I see in Scripture. Is it's about relationships. It's about investing in people's lives and gaining credibility and a voice in their lives, which is why I use that expression frequently on the podcast now. We want to have a voice in people's lives. I think relational evangelism is so important. And yeah, there's definitely a time, and I'll certainly still refer people to other resources, you know, when I feel like they're going to be more useful to them than I would be on a certain topic. But as far as like fiction as evangelism, can it do that? Yes, but what I would rather do is let it do that work kind of indirectly, like not make the assumption myself. Like starting with Dark Ritual and onward, I didn't make the assumption anymore that, that you know, as I was writing Dark Ritual and projects after it, that unbelievers were going to just stumble upon this and buy it and listen to it. You know, I don't know that I actually thought that about the original, but I don't know what I was thinking about a lot of things early on. But yeah, my assumption, and I've heard this story from at least a few people, is that, you know, it's for Christians, and then they will decide. They'll think about the people in their lives, and they'll identify, if they think of anybody, those who would be open to listening to this thing that is created by a Christian guy, and da-da-da-da, you know. So that's really, the reaching out to non-believers, I kind of depend on you guys as listeners. If my content's going to get to someone who's not a believer, then I depend on the listeners of the podcast and in many cases the viewers of the YouTube channel or whoever, you know, that is engaging with what I'm producing because they're looking for Christian content like what I'm doing. Then you can make the choice and you can get that content to the people that will most likely be receptive to it that are not believers. Now, what I've discovered on YouTube is that I think there are a lot of folks that are not believers will still watch your content or check it out now and then for whatever reason, you know, because they're, you know, morbidly curious or because they're genuinely curious and thinking about, you know, processing some things in their mind or whatever reasons they might have. But it's much more common on YouTube for me to find people taking in my content that are not believers compared to the other places that I'm producing content, which is more likely to just be connecting primarily with Christians. So so it's almost, does that mean it's come full circle? I don't know. But anyway, let's keep going here.
That's about it for this week. So we're going to, next week, we're going to look at chapter 8, look at the two sides of Jesus, like I said, the fact that he forgives, but he also warns of judgment. And we're also going to get an answer to the question of who are the children of God? You know, we hear this idea that, you know, we're all God's children, and that's what brings us together in this world. Everyone in this world, we're all part of God's family, we're all God's children. And so we're going to look at that a little bit more closely and see what the Bible says about who are God's children. Is that everyone? Is that just some? Is that, you know, how does that work? And so that's what we're going to check out next week. Meantime, here's a question to think about. Do you think of people, humanity, humans, as naturally leaning more toward good or toward evil? And I would love to hear your thoughts on this. You can go to the weblog, which is, what is it, spiritblade.typepad.com. But if you just want to remember one web address, just go to www.spiritblade.net, and there's a link on there to the weblog. And In Search of Truth. Go to In Search of Truth, the most recent post on Gospel of John chapter 7, and leave a comment on what you think about that. Do you think of people as naturally leaning more toward good or evil? What is our nature? So there you have it. So that's...
Yeah, so if you want to follow up on that, all of these episodes are up on spiritblade.com. If you go to the podcast, you'll just have to do a ton of scrolling. I mean, I really need to look and see if there are some tools that Squarespace offers that will make the site more easily searchable and easier to navigate and get back to the early episodes of the podcast if you want to go that far back. Of course, I don't necessarily advocate that. It reminds me of the re-release of Sesame Street on Blu-ray or DVD a couple of years ago. And I remember that they had to put a warning on it that it was not intended for children. And I was like, what the crap are you talking about? It's not intended for children. And I read into it a little bit more and I found out that it's because there are certain elements of Sesame Street that promote things that would not be, like, safe for children today. For example, you know, in the magical land of Sesame Street, which is this kind of, like, inner city location, you know, if you think about it, you know, these children are going home with nice old men to have cookies at their house that they meet on the street. They meet these old men on the street, and then they get invited back to their house to have cookies. Okay, you know. And I think there was also maybe something else about, like, I don't think this was it, but, like, Cookie Monster being all obsessed with cookies and stuff like that. They might have, I think that I did, that did get changed at some point. I don't know if Cookie Monster is even on the, on Sesame Street. Is Sesame Street even running anymore? I honestly have no idea. It might not even be running. but anyway, I think he started eating vegetables or something, and boy, that's, you got to know that's when the franchise is going downhill, when the Cookie Monster is not obsessing over cookies anymore and he's eating frickin' vegetables. but yeah, I think that was probably, if that was the reason, then that's probably some dumb legislative agenda somebody had at some point, like, we can't have children being encouraged to like things that are not nutritious or whatever. So, I don't know. But anyway, connected to that, I kind of feel the same way as I look back on these In Search of Truth segments. I'm like, I'm not sure if I would agree with everything that you're going to hear on there. You know, I mean, I don't think I had any problems really with what I said in that one, but who knows what might show up the week after. I just feel like I'm just grateful that I feel like I've certainly grown. I've had the opportunity to learn under my own study mentor, for he's been mentoring me since the beginning, about a year in to my launch of Spirit Blade Productions is when, that sounds about right, when I started meeting with my study mentor. And he's a brilliant, educated guy in scripture, and I've been able to benefit from a number of other thinkers, great thinkers of our time that have published some great material and resources and stuff. So I feel like that product, quote unquote, as it were, of the In Search of Truth segment has certainly benefited from my growth and from these other teachers and thinkers that I've been able to hear from over the years. So, you know, hopefully you won't get anything heretical on those early ones, but as with any, even today, I would want you to listen with caution and discernment, but even more so with those earlier episodes, if you really want to track them down. Okay, let's wrap this up here.
That's really it for this week. Once again, I want to invite you to check out our website, www.spiritblade.net, if you want to learn more about who we are and what we believe and what we're trying to do. So anyway, you can come back here next week for the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. And until then, and in all things, seek the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Green Lantern is awesome.
Yeah, the robot voice just said Green Lantern is awesome. That was just a little, like, treat for the closing credits.
Peter is a crazy freak.
And Peter's a crazy freak. All right, so I don't know what I was thinking there. But anyway, that reminds me of the opening music. That whole opening thing, like, was really long. And I can't remember how many episodes in, but I did shorten it after a year or less or more. I can't remember. Excuse me. But I did shorten that because I was just like, people are not going to stick around for this big, long, boring intro, you know. They're going to hear it every week and get tired of it. So, so that's it, I think. That's 10 years of doing this podcast. That's crazy for me to think about. It's interesting for me to think about how the podcast has become just such a central part of what I do. I mean, it's, I would say that I haven't checked the numbers, anytime at all, because they're so unreliable. The means by which I have to check my numbers and my stats for podcasting, they're so more unreliable compared to the stats that I can get, the analytics I can get from YouTube. But I think it's probably safe to say that I have more subscribers to YouTube than I have listeners each week on the podcast, but not, I think I probably have more listeners per week on the podcast than I do viewers of a typical, you know, video on YouTube. But anyway, even as things, you know, change and diversify, you know, I mean, so much of how I structure my week, even for content I'm producing on YouTube, because there's so much overlap with the podcast, just my weekly kind of routine is really kind of become centered around the podcast. And it's crazy to me to think that it started out as something that it was just going to be extra. It was just going to be to point people to the audio dramas, you know. And so much of what Spirit Blade Productions has become over the years is the result of kind of a lesson that I had been learning before I launched Spirit Blade Productions and have continued to learn, and that is to chart a course but keep a loose grip on the wheel. Before launching Spirit Blade Productions, I had gone down two different, at least, career paths. Each one, I thought, God has wired me for this, He's equipped me for this, and I look back and see how my life has, and the things I've been through have led and prepared me for this. This is what God has intended for me. And then I follow that path, and I realize at some point, wow, this is not what God had, either A, it's not what God intended for me ever, you know, maybe, I don't know, or it's not what He wants me to do for as long as I thought He would, you know. And so going down this road, I've been doing this for 10 years, well, 10 plus years of Spirit Blade Productions. So, I feel like in general, doing what I'm doing is what God wants me to do. I have no reason to think that He wants me to do anything else. And yet, within that, what Spirit Blade Productions is, what it looks like, what it produces, what it does, has changed so much, both gradually and sometimes with a sudden jerk of the steering wheel as God takes control, seemingly, and just brings things about that I have the choice to respond to, and hopefully I'm responding to in the way He wants me to. But yeah, I mean, Christian Geek Central, the forums, all this stuff, and every time something new comes along that I try out, I think to myself, yeah, this is just a side thing. I don't want it to invade into my normal, you know, routine and take away from the other things that I'm doing. And then so often it becomes something that's a really vital part of what I'm doing. So I'm grateful that for you guys that have listened to this podcast for however long you've listened, and for those that are maybe just checking it out right now on YouTube, you can listen to the podcast on iTunes. It's the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. And you can also get it on our website at spiritblade.com. And I also post it every week at christiangeekcentral.com as well. So all those places you can get this podcast. And you can join us next week to see how far it's come. but yeah, I hope you'll do that. And you know, this is the closing here I noticed is different. In the early days, I used to, it was more like... is the word admonishment? I'm not sure what the right word would be, but it was more of an imperative where I would say, and in all things, remember, seek the truth. You know, it was like, it was an imperative. It was instruction, you know? And that language has changed over the years because, I just realized, I don't want to come across as like, I'm up here, you're down there. And from up here, I give you commands, you know? People can easily interpret things that way, and I really wanted to avoid that. So I wanted to change that language a bit. And then also, just from the repeated recognition that, you know, I need this. I need to seek the truth. I need to be on this journey because I fail in remembering to seek the truth. I fail, and I can just moment by moment fool myself until some word of truth, some memory of the truth from Scripture, something that God uses will kind of snap me out of that and remind me of what the course is that I should be on. So it's just as easy for me to neglect seeking out truth. And so now, at the end of the podcast, let me pull up my script here. What do I usually say? I hope you have a great week and that you'll join me next time here on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast as we continue as we continue together to geek out, and that's something that I added, geeking out, both geeking out and seeking truth. So anyway, that's something that I hope that you'll consider if you haven't, if you're just a YouTube watcher, if you haven't checked out the podcast, I hope you'll do that and join us and join the rest of us at ChristianGeekCentral.com as we hang out together, have fun together, geek out together, and seek the truth. Thanks for watching or listening. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
The Spirit Blade Underground is a community-supported endeavor of Spirit Blade Productions. This podcast is produced by Painter Fremson with support from the Christian Geek Central community at ChristianGeekCentral.com. For information about the latest entertainment and resources from Spirit Blade Productions, visit SpiritBlade.com. Thank you for listening.